Sportscast, November 16th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, and YouTube. But if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, you can listen to us on online radio if you go to the website, thesportscast.net, or you can download the app, The Sportscast, on the iOS App Store. You can see all the drama, all the action there. And, of course, follow us on Twitter at TheSportsCast1. A lot of late-breaking stories. One for the Dolphins, which we'll probably get to that later. And I think there was a positive test somewhere. I'm reading these little Ian Rappaport's Twitter updates. Anyways, I also want to say happy birthday to my father. He turned 65 today. We celebrated this past weekend, so definitely want to give him a shout-out in the Sports Cast show. What a week. A loaded week of NFL play. 4 p.m. window was full set of games. The reason why, because CBS was showing the Masters golf tournament, which Dustin Johnson won single-handedly. And, of course, we got a lot going on there. But everyone was talking about Hopkins catching that Hail Mary catch, Tua beating Herbert, and the Bengals never really going to beat the Steelers. And joining us all the way from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, welcome back to the Sportscast, Joe Toscano.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Joe, of all weeks, I was hearing on the Sunday countdown on ESPN before the 1 p.m. games, and they were saying if the Steelers had to lose a game, it would be today against the Bengals, but never really happened.
Wasn't close. I thought the Bengals would give them a game. The Bengals have looked tough this year, but Steelers shut them down. It was not close at all. It's rookie quarterbacks. When rookie quarterbacks face the Steelers defense, they get eaten alive.
And you guys are 9-0. Ravens lost against the Pats last night, so 6-3. Yeah. So you guys are feeling comfortable right now.
Three-game lead in the AFC North, looking good right now. Anything can change. You know, they're one injury away from being a disaster of a season. But let's focus on the good. Not sure what happened with the Ravens, but Steelers, I mean, they're not a juggernaut. They do have problems, but hey, 9-0, it's beautiful.
That one game last night, the Sunday night football game, I was chatting with one of my friends. I was like saying, like they were saying, oh, Ravens all the way, and I was like, I don't know, I'm not feeling it. I think the Pats are gonna win it, you know.
There were some, I mean, that weather was insane, especially that last drive for the Ravens. I've never seen rain that hard. That was absolutely insane. And then right as the game ends, everything clears up. So terrible timing for the Ravens. But yeah, I mean, I think the Patriots are not as bad as we think. You know, they had some close games. They could have a better record. So maybe they'll come on later in the season.
Yeah, totally agree. Was rain a factor? Who knows? There is a question from the comments. When will Big Ben be in the MVP conversation?
Oh, my God. Whoever said that, I love you. I've been saying this. Big Ben deserves to be in the MVP conversation. The Steelers without Ben are maybe 4-5. He has directly caused many of these victories. They might be like 2-7 or something like that. They would be a lousy team without Ben. He is doing great this year. And this past week, he had no practice because he was on the COVID list and he was fine. It was, no practice, still throwing very well.
Was activated on Saturday. I think it was afternoon when I saw the report in the morning, but he was activated. Roethlisberger was activated on one day before the game. Another question, another comment. As a Ravens fan, I'm mad, but as a Bama fan, I was happy for Harris. The Ravens will not have Campbell or William Hurts in the future or in the near future, so we'll see. What do you think about the Ravens?
The Ravens are dealing with injuries, and I don't know what's wrong with them. It's just Lamar needs to be better at passing. I think everybody expects the run now. There was that one play in the game last night where Lamar just goes back like, oh, look, I'm going to throw it. I'm going to throw it. I was like, we know you're not going to throw it, dude. Stop lying. We, like, the entire planet knew you were not going to throw there. So you're not fooling anyone. And that's the thing. They've adjusted to him, and he needs to be a better passer to overcome that.
Yeah, that's something that I think the defenses are figuring him out. Of course, Belichick would figure him out. I know him. He's not going to be a novice trying to figure out, you know, quarterbacks. And I'm trying to check how much did Dez Bryant get catched. No, Bryant was not. He did not do much yesterday. So
I don't know if it's the receivers or Lamar or what's going on, but it's a problem.
What if Dez was playing for the Buccaneers? Would it be different or be much of the same?
I'm not a fan of Dez Bryant right now. I think he's washed up. I don't think he would contribute much to anybody. I'm surprised he even got signed, so I don't think he would make much of a difference on any team.
What if he had Antonio Brown?
Now that's interesting. Antonio Brown, I mean, they're bringing him in slowly. You know, it's tough. He's had, I think he has a lot of rust because he's been off so long. So who knows if he could contribute? I mean, we'll see.
It might be a quarterback issue. Justin says the Ravens offense is too predictable. I agree. Until Jackson develops a passer, no Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, he needs to do something. You can't just be one-dimensional.
You can't be one-dimensional. And we're not one-dimensional here at the SportsCast because we're going to begin the NFL Week 10 recap on the SportsCast. Are you ready, Joe?
Let's do it.
Okay. Buccaneers, Panthers, 46-23. The Buccaneers bounced back from an embarrassing loss to the Saints last week. Tom Brady had 3 touchdown passes and 341 yards. Ronald Jones ran for a almost 100-yard touchdown, and he finished with 100 and almost 200 rushing yards. Joe, of course, it's the Panthers, but it was a good win.
I think sometimes losing the way the Bucs did last week, getting smacked, I think it could be a good thing in the long term. I think that, you know, they were feeling pretty good about themselves, and when you get smacked that bad, you say, ooh, maybe we're not as good as we think we are. We need to, do better. And they made some adjustments. They made some adjustments on the offensive line. And, I mean, yeah, it is the Panthers, but still impressive win.
Just like Mike Tyson says, you may have a plan until you get a punch in the mouth. And that's which Mike Tyson's fighting next week.
I hope to never try that theory out.
Okay, let's go. NFC East showdown. The Giants beat the Eagles. The Giants are 2-0, ending a near 4-year losing streak to the Eagles. Daniel Jones, a man that is in question marks, is probably have one less question mark, had a rushing touchdown, which he's really good at. And Wayne Gallman had 2 rushing touchdowns as New York stayed alive for the division title. You know, which keep in mind, Joe, NFC East, I think like the most is 3 wins.
It is crazy. And the Eagles, I mean, the Giants might be the best team in the NFC East. It is amazing. I don't know what is wrong with the Eagles. My goodness, I thought they would be better than this. They're just pathetic.
And you can find out more this Thursday at the Victor with show on Thursday night with Victor. Telling us what's the latest on that. The Packers and the Jaguars. Packers beat the Jaguars 24-20. The Packers defense stopped any chance of a Jake Luton comeback to seal the win. Aaron Rodgers had 325 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. Jaguars rookie James Robinson ran for 109 yards. This was pretty close, Joe.
It just goes to show that any team can win in the National Football League. I mean, the Jaguars, They're not very good, but wow, this was close. I mean, they were leading at one point. So, you know, it's one of those things like when the Steelers played the Cowboys last week, and they made it much more close. So, it happens. You know, any team can win in the NFL.
Cowboys were a better team versus the Bengals, I thought, against the Steelers. But we'll talk about that in a few segments down. Lions in Washington, closer game, very good game. Alex Smith played. The Lions needed a long field goal from Matt Prater to save the day, which Matt Prater is really good at that. Two clutch field goals from him allowed Detroit to pick up the win. Matthew Stafford had three touchdown passes. Alex Smith had a good performance, Joe.
Great to see him just out there after all the horrific things, you know, people in Pittsburgh say, well, Ben should get the comeback player of the year. It's like, no, Alex Smith is going to get it. I mean, the fact that he could even walk is amazing. So, you know, very, very cool that he's able to play quarterback again. Thrilling game. You know, the last second field goal, they thought it was going to go to overtime. Matthew Stafford drove him down. So good for the Lions.
Good for the Lions. And the now 6-3 Cleveland Browns beat the Texans by 3 points, 10-7. The Browns won ugly, but still got the dub. Nick Chubb, upon returning from injury, ran for 126 yards and a score. Not a amazing score line, but the Browns are 6-3, Joe.
Hey, a win's a win. This was big for the Browns. They missed Nick Chubb really bad. You know, people said, well, that's okay. They have Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt is okay, but Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb is elite, and that's how the Browns are going to win. Good running attack, minimal effort from Baker Mayfield, good defense. So, I mean, if they keep doing that, that's a recipe for them winning. And, hey, you know, 6-3, that's impressive.
Rams and Seahawks, NFC West showdown. The Seahawks might have been in trouble. Russell Wilson had two interceptions and no touchdown passes in a big loss to the Rams on Sunday. Malcolm Brown and Daryl Henderson Jr. both had rushing touchdowns in the win. Let's look at the Seahawks. You know, Metcalf didn't do much. Lockett did a little bit more. But, man, they shut down the Seahawks really well, Joe.
Metcalf didn't do much. He got shut down by Jalen Ramsey. The Seahawks are in trouble. Their defense is almost historically bad. It might be statistically one of the worst defenses of all time. The only way that they could hope to win is like in a shootout every week. And you can't rely on that every week. I mean, Russell Wilson, five interceptions the last 2 weeks. That's not good. So, I mean, the Seahawks are in trouble.
Terrell Lewis had two sacks. The Rams, they're still in it, aren't they?
They are. They're looking good. They have that great defense. They could get the running game going. They get the playoff action off of that. That's their recipe for winning.
Another good game in Arizona. Cardinals beat the Bills 32-30. Murray and the Cardinals needed a miracle, and they got it done. It was a really close game. I thought the Bills were going to win it. A final second Hail Mary caught by DeAndre Hopkins, Joe, gave Arizona the win over the Bills. That catch video was viral for like 4 hours or longer.
Game of the year, maybe play of the year. Absolutely amazing. You know, and right before that, Josh Allen connected with Stephon Diggs in a great play. And you thought, oh, well, this game just shows this is why you trade for elite wide receivers, because both of them came through. But yeah, that final play was just one of just amazing play of the year, maybe game of the year.
How often do you see a Hail Mary pass being, you know, caught?
It was amazing too, because it was just him. It was like three or four defenders there, and it was just up to DeAndre Hopkins. He's like, yeah, I got this.
Is Hopkins a Hail Mary expert? We'll see. Maybe luck was involved. Dolphins and Chargers 29-21 in a battle of rookie quarterbacks, Tua versus Herbert. A huge talk we have here in the sportscast. Tua improved to a 3-0 as a starter. Two touchdown passes. Herbert also had two touchdown passes. They sacked him a lot this game.
Dolphins, I think, are the surprise of the season. But, I mean, they're doing it with defense. They have two of the best cornerbacks in the league. They have a really good defense. Tua is, you know, still learning, but he's doing all right. How about them Dolphins? It's incredible.
I am really excited. Did not see them having a potential playoff run, but this could be very much alive. And I agree with their defense. I picked them up on my fantasy. They were available 2 weeks ago, so I had to pick them up because the Patriots weren't doing much back then. Now they're doing fine right now. So the Dolphins are, of course, 6-3. Really, really excited for their turnout. I hope to see more from Tua. He's doing really well. He's really comfortable. And I hope in the next couple of weeks we'll see if they'll make the playoffs, most likely. But, of course, with the Patriots winning last night, it's just things could get really, really weird. But anyways, the next game, the Steelers and Bengals, 36-10. Steelers played a complete game, and their win over the Bengals. Roethlisberger had four touchdown passes and a defense forced two turnovers. Pittsburgh's 9-0. Joe is comfortable in his seat right now.
Looking good. For some reason, the Bengals set out to stop the Steelers from running, which is dumb because the Steelers' strength is their passing attack. And Ben just spreads it out. He has five really good receivers, including tight end Eric Ebron. He has, you know, they're all good. So he has a lot of options to throw. So the Steelers are having trouble running, but they're doing just fine passing. So they're fine, and the defense is elite.
Raiders and Broncos. The Raiders got a huge win and kept pace in the AFC West. Josh Jacobs ran for 112 yards and two touchdowns in the victory over the Broncos. He did well for my fantasy. Everyone was saying this Raiders team is a force to be reckoned with. Joe, what are your thoughts?
Raiders are looking good. I think Josh Jacobs does not get enough attention. He's just a monster. He's been really good for a while now. And the Broncos... Drew Locke, I think it's time to get concerned about the guy. The guy, you know, four interceptions, not a good year. He's supposed to be your franchise quarterback. A little bit concerning.
He is concerning, of course. I'll talk to Ryan Krista about it because he's our Broncos guy. So he'll definitely let us know if Drew Locke is the man. If not, well, there's always a draft coming up. Saints and Niners, wow. Drew Brees got injured. James Winston came in. The Niners did not phase the Saints. Winston subbed in for an injured Brees in the second half and had 63 yards. Brees had a touchdown to Alvin Kamara. Saints brushed it out, but they're looking good so far.
Yeah, I mean, the 49ers are so hurt. So, I mean, this was almost a gimme. But, I mean, yeah, Brees is out. Scary. I'm not a fan of Jameis Winston. So
yeah,
we'll see
me
what
either.
I mean, really... Really, the Saints are so good. They have that, you know, Kamara. Kamara is another one that you could talk to about a possible MVP consideration. You know, good defense, good running. So, in theory, Winston shouldn't have to do a lot. Just don't, you know, throw 800 interceptions like he does. But so, you know, maybe they'll weather this and maybe Brees will be back soon. But that's a little concerning.
Yeah, Winston... I mean, I believe Brees had surgery today for ribs. You think he might come back this season, or do you think maybe not?
If he is out the whole season, that's
not
good.
That's good for the Buccaneers, though.
It's good for the Bucks. It's good for the rest of the NFC. But
condolences. Condolences to Brees. Hopefully he feels better. But he's 43,
maybe,
though.
Maybe Jameis Winston, you know... remembered to throw to his own team. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see what happens. Next game, Sunday Night Football. The Patriots in pouring rain beat the Ravens. And, of course, the Patriots are now 4-5. Baltimore struggled in the rain. Was it the rain, Joe?
Only Milli Vanilli can blame it on the rain. The Patriots had to also play in that rain, so I don't think that's an excuse. I think the Patriots are better than we think. You know, I trashed them a few weeks ago, but you know, they kept it close against the Bills. They had another game that was really close, so I think they're better than their record indicates. So they might make some waves in the rest of the season.
Something that I definitely want to look at, because you know, I was thinking maybe the Patriots want to tank for a quarterback, but you just don't know what Belichick wants to do. Does he want to tank? Does he want to compete? I mean, now seeing like the Miami Dolphins competing, he might want to maybe compete. I don't know.
Well, this was a. I mean, if you're going to tank, You know, I mean, if they lost to the Ravens, there's no shame in that. You know, maybe losing to the Jets, then people would wonder. But yeah, I mean, hey, you know, they could go from are they going to tank to are they going to make the playoffs?
Something to definitely look at. And that is our NFL recap. Let's look at the standings. Bills are first place, Dolphins, Patriots, and Jets. AFC North, Steelers, Ravens, Browns, and Bengals. Steelers have a good cushion. Of course, it's three games. I don't know if you know the schedule top of your head, but do you see a potential loss or two, three losses in the future for the Steelers?
I'm telling you, there's a trap game next week against the Jaguars. It's in Jacksonville. Anytime the Steelers play in Jacksonville or against Jacksonville anywhere, it's always scary. So that could be a trap game. But then right after that, Thursday night Thanksgiving, they play home to the Ravens, and that's going to be interesting. You know, the Ravens are going to be mad and they're going to want to play their hearts out. So that could be a loss. And then they later on, they are at Buffalo. So that could be a loss, too. So I see possibly a couple losses.
Oh, no. So how many losses do you think could happen? 2-4?
I think they might go 14-2, which, you know,
that's still good. I'll take that.
People have called them the worst 9-0 team ever, which is just hilarious.
Yeah, someone was saying that, yes, it's 9-0, and most of their wins have been, like, not a huge margin. And I think one guy was saying that the 1970 Steelers will still beat this team right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Steelers have, you know, they have problems, but, you know, it's just laughable to criticize a 9-0 team because they didn't, you know, they didn't win enough. I'm sorry. I'll apologize for the Steelers. I'm sorry they haven't won every game 100-0. I will talk to them. We'll work on that to make sure every game from here on out is 100-0.
Something to definitely look at. AFC South, the Colts, Titans, Texans, and Jaguars. Joe, the Colts got the edge over the Titans on Thursday night. Are you seeing a Colt win the AFC South?
Possibly. The Titans have really come down to earth. They went from undefeated to not so good. They kind of have the same problem as the Seahawks. Good offense, but horrible defense. And that's not going to win you a lot of games unless your offense is awesome all the time. So a little scary for the Titans. They need to get better on defense.
Yeah, something that I was really sad about. But, hey, Titans could always turn things around. When you saw a good playoff push last season going deep into the AFC Championship game, I thought this team might be the team of the future. They started like that in the beginning. I like to see more. But, of course, you know, Derrick Henry, the wear and tear, of him and having the Titans depend on him a lot, that might be wearing off. Seems like it's wearing enough. Hopefully not. It's too early, I think. NFC East, we spoke about this before in the show. Eagles, Giants, Washington, and Cowboys. All these teams have a potential to win this division, Joe.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. We could see like a 6-10 team win this division. But, hey, whatever it takes. I mean, right now it's the Giants that are looking good.
Giants are looking good. I'm surprised. I thought they had to wait another year to see something, but this might be an opportunity for them or anyone else in this division. I do see a potential with Alex Smith. I think he looked pretty good and pretty agitated after that loss, but I think he can make a good run for the rest of the season.
It's just, I mean, you know, it would be – he might have a good season or whatever, but just Washington has so many goals. They're just not good.
Yeah. That team, I probably don't see much going deep. NFC West, as tight as last year, now the Cardinals are on top of that division, then the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Niners. What a turnaround. Seahawks was first for a while, Joe. Now we're seeing the Cardinals and Rams ahead of them.
I tell you what, I was saying that the Seahawks were the best team in the NFC, and now they're not even the best team in the NFC West. They're technically in third. That is amazing. The Cardinals... how great they've emerged. Kyler Murray is stepping up. He's able to run now. or almost I should say they're letting him run now more. So, you know, he's good passing. He's good running. That could be scary if he gets going. I mean, it's really impressive. The Cardinals really surprised me.
I agree, but they do have weapons. They do have Hopkins making the difference in that Hail Mary pass. NFC North, the Packers are first, Bears, then Lions, then the Vikings. Maybe the Bears, you know, make the playoffs, but for sure the Packers, I mean, are for sure going.
Packers really right now look like the only good team in that division. Bears just you need an okay offense to go with that good defense, and right now their offense is pathetic. The Lions are the Lions, and the Vikings are just they've just lost too much. So I mean I can't see them recovering, but maybe there'll be some surprises. But I only see the Packers coming out of that division.
And hold on for that prediction because. It could make a difference. NFC South, the Saints are still up top. Buccaneers only behind a game. Falcons and Panthers. So maybe with Breeze injured, Buccaneers can overtake the Saints in the South in a couple of weeks.
They're going to have to because the Saints destroyed them head to head. So they're going to have at least one more game than them. So we'll see. We'll see. 7-3 is still good for the Bucks, but you know they got to win more.
There you have it. Those are the standings. Things are pending, but things are coming clear of what's going to happen. Thanksgiving is where you see probably a good day to know what's going to happen, who's going to make the playoffs or not. And of course, I think they expanded the playoffs, like the number of playoff teams. So. There's some chances for a lot of teams to make it, even if they're having a struggling season during this COVID era. Tonight is Monday Night Football, a good matchup. NFC North, the Minnesota at Chicago. Joe, who do you have for that game?
I like the Vikings. Dalvin Cook is a beast right now. He could put the entire team on his back. So, you know, until I see more from the Bears offense, I'm not going to pick them to do anything.
I have Robinson in my fantasy, and I need him to score, to make 8 to 10 points tonight. Do you think he can do it for me?
Maybe. I don't know.
He is questionable, but I think he's going to start.
You'd think he would, but... You never know. I mean, that's how bad the Chicago offense is.
It's, oh, wow.
You can't even depend on their best wide receiver to do anything.
Allen Robinson. We'll see what happens with Nick Foles. So Joe has Minnesota poll question of the day. Which fast food restaurant makes the best milkshake? The options are McDonald's, Wendy's, In-N-Out Burger, or Burger King. What's your choice?
If you count the Frosty as a milkshake, then it's Wendy's.
I could count that.
Okay, then it's Wendy's. Dipping your fries in a Frosty is one of the greatest fast food experiences ever.
It is. I actually tried that. It's pretty good. Frosty's is like between ice cream and a milkshake, it feels like. Somewhere between.
Yeah. Yeah, you really can't call it's not technically a milkshake, but it's just a tweener. It's like a defensive end slash linebacker. It's in the middle.
Great combination. I like that. That's only happens in the sportscast in Joe's world. Anyways, Joe, what is the best way to reach you, to talk to you about all about food?
All about food, sports, anything. I'm Joey Bag of Donuts, V instead of an F on Twitter.
And you can reach us at the sportscast, at the sportscast 1 on Twitter, or at thesportscast.net. Tonight we got Ty Turner. He is going to have Ken Doppel from West Coast CFB website to recap Pac-12 games this past weekend. Tomorrow, we got, of course, the anticipated Riley and Constant show tomorrow. They got Steve Brown, and they got a legend. But I won't tell you what it is because you guys got to check it out. And tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Tonight is at 10 p.m. Eastern. But, of course, if you guys can't make it to neither, you can listen to the podcast version the day after when we upload it. So it's definitely going to be a one heck of a week. They have Mike McCoy and Marquise Mays, former Alabama wide receivers. So they'll remember they are taking calls, and they're also going to make predictions. So Alabama had 2 weeks off these past 2 weeks. They're going to play this weekend, I hope, but we'll see how things go in COVID. Anyways, I'm out of time, Joe. I mean, I got to go grab a Frosty, put some fries in it, and call it lunch.
Seriously, that sounds really good. I might do that too.
Well, Joe, I'll see you next time.
All right. Take care.